Welcome to the Craft Beer Cast. I'm Josh. That's Jeff.
Hey, it's remotely me. What's happening? Hey, Wells, you out there?
I'm always remote. Yeah, it's definitely remotely me. What's up, you guys?
What's going on?
Chilling.
Anybody do anything exciting?
I have an airport rant. Flying through, so I was in Texas a week or so ago for work, and I don't have high expectations for beer in Texas, although I did get to a Flying Saucer, which had a couple of decent things. They had a special tap of Black Butte 38 or whatever it was. Like, that was all fine, right? But the Atlanta airport. So I may have told the story, a few months back I flew through the Atlanta airport and I had a couple hours to kill and I was looking for, a beer and some food. And they had a Terrapin Tap Room right next door to like Buffalo Wild. So I'm like, why the hell not? Let's just give it a shot. Went there. They were out of CO2.
That sucks.
It was like Monday or something like that, right? Like, clearly the weekend rush had come and gone, and killed pretty much all their CO2. So all they had were cans. And I'm like, and then I saw their food and I'm like, this is the most disappointing brew pub I've been in a while. So I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. Fast forward to a couple weeks ago, I'm coming back through and I'm like, I'm not going to go there. Let's see what I've got near me. And the Sweetwater tap room was there. I'm like, all right, cool. I haven't been to Sweetwater or had a Sweetwater in a long time. And it's literally like my gate was like, within eye shot. Like, it was that close, right? And so I walk in there and I'm like, man, they don't have any tap handles. And she's like, yeah, a bunch of our kegs kicked. This is on like a Friday at like lunchtime. And she's like, yeah, we've got Blue Moon, Hazy Juicy IPA, or the Blueberry Wheat. And I'm just like,
oh,
well, this is like, again, I'm sitting there, I'm like, how is that? How are you guys this bad as tap rooms at, keeping your beer in stock? But like, whatever. So I get the Hazy. It's not for me. Big shock. Food was good. Service was good. And I'm there right as they're getting ready to do, after about 20 minutes, they're getting ready to do a changeover of staff. And I guess the guy that was coming in was the keg guy. And so he came in and tapped, a couple of kegs. So I got to have the G13, the 420 strain, whatever it is from Sweetwater. And it was pretty good. But I just keep going back to this. Like, how do you get this bad? And I'm just sitting there thinking about it. I'm like, how do you have a tap room? Like it's a Sweetwater, it's co-branded with Atlanta Bread Co. But I mean, like, it's like this is your thing, is beer. And yet you don't have anything on. And then I figured it out. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching, they just tapped this new keg and they start, I guess, maybe flushing the lines. I don't know how you want to look at it. Lady went through like two of those big, like, clear plastic pitchers, like the Pizza Hut pitchers, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
She went through two of those, dumped them. I'm like, well, okay. So if a keg runs, and I'm sure it was like a quarter or a half barrel or something like that. But I mean, if it was just like a sixth, so if that's like 40 beers, you just wasted like easily 15% of your keg right there.
Yikes.
That is a weird, I wonder why they were doing that.
I don't know. That said, Ludacris's chicken and beer actually had decent taps. And I felt miserable after the chicken and waffles. Like, I haven't felt that gross in a long time. It was really good, but it was just a lot of carbs and sugar and butter. And like, I'm just not used to that anymore, but man. Yeah, that was good. The beer was good too.
Cool. But
anyway, that's my rant. What you went up to, Wells?
Man, I went to the Answer this weekend. We like to walk on the weekends, so that kind of puts us Scott's edition to Yeah, we just don't venture out to the answer. Scott Sedition is about as far out as we'll go. And so I went there and I had a really good time. The food was just excellent still. And the beers. I had a West Coast IPA on Nitro, which was really fucking fun. A lovely little smoked lager, and then this big, badass, like double barrel Boo Bear, aged in bourbon and apple brandy barrels with coca nibs and vanilla beans. And that was excellent. And I thought, how in the world am I going to top this off, top it? 16.5% double barrel stout. So I came home and cracked a 17% something that the Veil put together and is getting like ready to release. And I know. It's just like, man, I don't need any more beer. That really hit the spot. But you know what I do need is more beer. So, whoops. That was fun. It was good times.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've done nothing. Big shock.
Shocker.
I know. I know we're all floored. Hey, I do have, Jeff and I have plans between now and the next recording, so we'll
Yeah, we'll see if it goes.
Yeah, we'll see if it comes to fruition or not. You know, on the upside, I will say this, I do have an e-mountain bike now, so I can putter around town a lot easier without having to, you know, get hauled around constantly, so that should make life a lot easier once it's not fucking hot outside.
I was gonna say, well, not to mention it's too dang hot, but like, you really think you're gonna bike all the way over to Divine?
I don't know that I would make it that far, but like, RC, that sure doesn't seem too,
yeah,
too bad. It's trying to just like map out like a way to get there without having to go through some crazy fucking roads will be my biggest problem, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out as I get there. I don't know. But going to Common Market will be super simple now. I just hop on the bike and be there in like 15 minutes. So
nice.
Yeah. All right. So moving into the news. So Jeff, speaking of Terrapin.
Right. Right. Hence the tie-in there.
So in case anybody doesn't remember, Tilray actually had purchased Terrapin from 10th and Blake, which was kind of an arm of Coors, so like their little crafty arm. Terrapin was kind of one of the OGs of craft beer, at least in the South. And when I say that, they used to be a really big fucking deal.
Yep.
And a lot of it, I think, was a lot of people not understanding that it was always owned by Coors, but or at least had been for a while.
It was in that era where they weren't, it wasn't clear.
Yes.
We all were fairly certain, but some of us, myself included, you know, kind of looked the other way because it wasn't black and white.
Right. It was Terrapin, right? And like Hopsecutioner was a really good IPA and you know, they had some other stuff too. But Tilray has announced that they are going to be closing the production facility of Terrapin, and they're going to move that production to some of their other breweries or to some of their other sites.
So what I find interesting about this story, I was doing a little digging here, you know, so there's, you know, the story goes here, starting September 25th, so basically 2 weeks from tomorrow, depending on how you're listening to this, right? So September 25th, 2026, they are moving production from the Athens location to other breweries within their network.
Yeah.
And Josh, you made a really good point that Tilray acquired them. Do you recall when Tilray acquired them? It was
2 years
barely
ago?
2 years ago. Yeah. Okay. August 13th, 2024.
Okay. I was going to say, I thought it was about 2 years ago.
So when they move all the stuff, it will have been 2 years and like a week, you know, which for any of you that work in a company that is in mergers and acquisitions, that's generally the way it goes. Nothing's going to change. We're going to keep it all the same. We love the people and we don't want to, you know, upset the culture and the yada, yada, yada. And we're going to be good stewards of the company. And then 2 years later, they're like, oh, right. By the way, we're moving everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not at all surprised. Nope. I'd say the one thing that did kind of surprise me was, you know, that at that time, you know, it was Terrapin, it was Hop Valley out of Eugene, Revolver out of Granbury, Texas, and Atwater out of Detroit. Now, I think those are all probably like Terrapin, extremely regional.
Yes.
But I haven't heard a thing about any of those, but I wouldn't be surprised if those start to shut down as well.
I wouldn't either. And, you know, keep in mind, so the tap house is still going to stay open, or tap room still going to stay open, and some of their other stuff. But, you know, as much as I hate to use corporate fucking speak here, but when you do big mergers like this, especially with Tilray, who's no fucking small company by any stretch of the imagination, when you have redundancies, eventually the moneymaker, you know, the penny pushers are going to look at, it's costing us X to have this facility in Athens when we can be doing this far cheaper in a facility in Atlanta, or, you know, whatever the case is.
Yep.
So I think, Jeff, you're spot on that we're probably going to see like an Atwater or some of these other places maybe start to lose some of their same anonymity that they maybe once had of, you know, like you said, nothing's going to change. Everything's going to remain the same. And then it won't. So.
Yeah, there's no repercussions for that. And at the end of the day, it's their business. They can do what they want, you know?
Yeah. And you know, too, especially now with the major fight that is going on, both at the state and national level of trying to curb the amount of THC or even CBD that is in some of these hemp products that are, let's face it, fucking everywhere in every state. Tilray, keep in mind, for those that don't know, was originally a marijuana company.
Yep.
They were based in Canada. They were a marijuana company. And I said it from the second that they started buying stuff in the U.S., this is all about them trying to ramp up a production network. So once, you know, weed is just legal everywhere, they can make legal THC beverages in these facilities. So.
Yeah.
So who knows? You know, Terrapin Place in Athens, the brew or the actual production facility, if things were to ever change, which it doesn't look like it's going to now, at least within the next or, you know, probably 5 years or so. But still, now they have an empty facility that unless they gut it and sell off all the equipment, hey, what do you know? We can just turn this into one of our weed making facilities. Who knows? Who knows what they're thinking there, but.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing anything in the article. I'm skimming it again. I didn't see anything talking about, you know, selling off the facility or even if they own the facility. So,
right.
You know, who's to say?
Yeah, who knows?
But it also says that, yeah, it says they want to, you know, prioritize high-performing brands, scalable operations, and growth across key markets. And, I mean, to your point, Josh, there was that era where, you know, like 2015, you know, Terrapin had some cachet. People were interested in it, you know, between Hop Executioner and Wake and Bake, and then the different variants of Wake and Bake. And then they had that peanut butter one. And, you know, like they were actually doing pretty good for a while. And then, you know, it all, like everybody else, like they just like they kind of hit their creative wall and couldn't figure out where to go after that.
Yeah. Wells, any thoughts on this one?
No, not really. I mean, it's kind of, I'm not surprised, but I'm disappointed.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
I feel you.
You buy all these brands from MillerCoors, Molson Coors, whatever, or Budweiser. I mean, Tilray's just snatching up everything that they could get their hands on for a little while.
Yep.
And then saying, oh, well, we don't need all these production facilities, which, I mean, duh, I get it. You're better off, you know, doing some brand consolidation, but it is just very strange that like Terrapin's not going to be brewed in Georgia. Like,
well, what's
bizarre.
It's like, yeah. Oh.
Well, it may not be right. I mean, what if Sweetwater just picks it up, which is a part of the Tilray family. So it'd still be brewed in Georgia, just not Athens.
Sure. Okay. Fine. But
yeah, no.
But is it brewed in Athens, Georgia? Like it can be brewed at Sweetwater in Atlanta.
Right.
But
that can't be like that's still not as bad as Goose Island making 312 in New York City. Like that's the one that will always kill me. You have a beer that's literally named after the Chicago area code.
Yep.
But by all means, let's make it in a different state. Good job, guys.
Kind of like the famously CLT'd brew IPA that wasn't made in Charlotte.
Oh, yeah, the CLT IPA that Catawba was brewing in Morganton. God, I was pissed. I was so pissed off about that.
We were very worked up about that one.
All of us were. So on the flip side, and this is why I kind of put these two stories back to back. So we're taking one away, but we're boosting two others. And what I mean by that is Tilray. There's two other breweries that they're actually going to be investing more money into. One of them is called Montauk, and then the other is Blue Point. Again, two kind of regional breweries that are based in New York, and they're going to actually put some more money into propping them up, so to speak.
It's interesting.
You go from, okay, Terrapin, you're just not moving the number anymore. We're going to close your production facility. Hey, Blue Point, guess what? You guys are killing it.
Yeah, I'm trying to find. I get this daily general information email. You know, like I'm a millennial or something, right? And I've noticed ads for Montauk stuff, and it's like their NA, their NA beer. But I can't find it. I deleted it.
And I was going to say, so out of these two, obviously Blue Point I'm very familiar with because Toasted Lager and, you know, some of the other stuff, but I'd never heard of Montauk before. What about you guys?
Nope.
I know the name, but that's it. I don't even know if I've even had them before.
Gotcha. Like I said, they're going to be investing more in getting more equipment in there. Let's see, what do they say they were going to do with Blue Point?
Only I can scroll. Yeah, there it is. Sponsored by Montauk Brewing Company. And they're pitching their NA stuff.
Huh.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's just, it's crazy where you just look at one and say, yep, you're cool. And then you look at the other one and go, nah, we don't need you anymore.
How am I just not? NAIP? Yeah, I don't know Montauk, I suppose. That's not ringing a bell. Whoops.
Eh. It was more of just, like I said, of kind of... The reason why I threw these both in back-to-back is just to show that it looks like Tilray is trying to take the model of if you're something small and regional and you're working in their portfolio, they're going to invest in you. And if you're not, then they're going to, you know, Terrapin you, basically. This is the way it kind of looks. And, you know, I know a lot of people were upset when Blue Point got purchased by AB back in the day, and I think people were celebrating when they got pulled away from AB. So it makes sense that, you know, regionally at least, because I'll be honest with you, I can't tell you the last time I've seen a Blue Point beer, but I also haven't been into a big box store in ages. So there is that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the last time I remember seeing Blue Point was like just after the Budweiser acquisition. It's been a long time for me. And admittedly, I wasn't looking for them after they got bought, but since they got rebought by Tilray, I still haven't seen them. And I'm also not looking, but
you're not looking, and you and I are of a different ilk. You even more so than me, because number one, you get free shifties.
Yeah. Why am I going to?
Right. Yeah. And then I don't go to the big box store at all like I used to. Like I used to get, like, part of it was just ease, right? It was far from where Jeff and I used to work, and we would just pop over there at lunch.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, hell, Common Market is so close I can easily ride my bike to it. Like, why would I go to...
Because your bike goes so fast. It's probably doing like 18 miles an hour or something.
Right? It does.
It's probably 82 miles an hour the way
you... 28. It does 28, Jeff. It does 28 miles an hour. It was a little shaky at 28. It freaked me the fuck out. And so I backed that off real quick, but...
Oh.
That's the last thing you need to do is crash on your first day.
So, you know, after I got it put together, I went out for a test ride and was like, fuck it, we're going to use the lazy man and not even pedal, and let's just hit the accelerator and see what this thing can do. And I got up to like 22 miles an hour. I'm like, this bike doesn't have any suspension on it. I don't want to die. We're going back off that throttle now.
Yeah, that's no good. Yeah.
I mean, I had my helmet on and everything, but still. But yeah, there you go. Tilray news. We'll see what is. I mean, obviously, we are in a very weird time in the craft beer world right now. And I see this is going to keep happening. Like Jeff said with the last story, we're probably going to see this happen to at least an Atwater or a Red Hook or one of these other places that they've bought that just isn't doing anything. So they're just going to move that production somewhere else.
Yep. I mean, and I feel like that's going to be the excuse will always be that the brand is underperforming.
Yep.
And there won't be any way to measure it, you know, for the employees or anything. They just, you know, just need to be ready.
Yep. Absolutely. Also, speaking of kind of M&A, so to speak, this one's a little different, but we're both, all three of us are very familiar with Highwire and Appalachian Mountain Brewing.
Yeah.
They have made an agreement that is basically AMB is going to have their stuff contract brewed at Highwire.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it makes some sense. Highwire has lots of capacity and,
and they just upgraded it too.
So, you know, you might as well try and take advantage of that as best you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both of them have been open just as long, both opened in 2013. While Highwire has focused on tap rooms, they currently operate 7 across North Carolina and Tennessee. And it's just, they must have closed a lot more tap rooms than I remember, because I thought they were in more states than just 2.
Same. And they were. I know they were. So they must have probably closed some of those underperforming ones. But to that point of why this is happening. So when AMB got sold originally to AB InBev, they closed their production facility. So it just kind of makes sense for AMB to have somebody else do the contract brewing for them.
Yeah. And like I said, I feel like Highwire's got capacity. I mean, you know, there was that time again, like it seems feels like I'm talking about Terrapin. You know, Highwire was big. They had all sorts of variety and variance, and, you know, there'd be 3 or 4 different 10W40s on the shelf. And then, you know, I think and to your point, Josh, I don't know, maybe it's different at the big box store, but I mean, you could still pick up 2 or 3 of their things at the local grocery, but I just don't, I know there are people that have a love for either high pitch or low pitch. You know, they never really did it for me. And there's almost always like some seasonal that they're pushing out there too, which is nice. But it's just, I don't think they're doing as hot.
Well, I was going to say, so I can, again, firsthand experience just being at the Common Market that's down the road, there is always, always, always either a high or a low 12 pack, sometimes both. And there's always a 10W and then some type of a variant of 10W, but that's about all I see anymore.
I hate to be that guy, but I just saw like a video earlier today that it's like, has your local craft beer bottle shop turned into a museum? So basically, I'm asking, you always see these beers there.
Oh, yeah.
Are they the same ones?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't obviously even look at them, so who knows? It's very possible they could be. Or somebody's buying them. Who knows? I don't know.
That could be an interesting question for somebody that works there.
Yeah, exactly. Because, if I'm in a desperate pinch and we're like having to do an Instacart for groceries or something, I can sometimes rely on Highwire being somewhat fresh. Although if I'm doing that anymore, it's always going to be Sierra, because I know I'm not gambling there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can guarantee I know exactly what I'm getting. But, you know, a couple of years ago, I could generally count on Highwire for being fairly fresh, but you know, I will throw it back to 2018 when I was in the Dominican and saw Highwire beer, like singles, there on the island.
Right.
Blew my fucking mind. Yeah. Blew my mind that they were all the way out there. But yeah.
And to your point, like, I can't help but wonder, was that the first stop for those cans? Was it the second stop for those cans? You know, how many storefronts did those go through that, you know, then were, you know, put in the clearance rack and then maybe just written off and sent out somewhere? Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, your guess is as good as mine, but it was just mind-boggling that they were out there. But, you know, I guess good on AMB for being able to fully come back to, like, a more wider distro than what they were doing. You know, they still had their original tap room and everything, but like I said, their production facility had gotten sold off, so I can imagine that was probably a hard go of trying to produce beer in a smaller capacity than what they had before, especially when they're under the AB InBev arm, so... Good on them.
Yep.
And like we said, it's not like Highwire doesn't have the production facility, capabilities. So.
And again, you know, like I'm happy that they're going to, you know, have something to do with that capacity. And you know, I mean, like, this is the kind of thing that we've been talking about for a while. You know, I'd rather see Highwire bring AMB in and they work out something for, you know, maybe it's a deal for a couple of years and, you know, they work together for a couple of years until either AMB makes enough and they can spend, you know, spend on their own outlay, or,
right,
you know, if AMB starts to struggle a little bit, then they can dial it back a little bit and maybe Highwire brings somebody else in. Like, I don't, it's such a weird thing because for so long I felt like contract brewing was this dirty word that we would mention, you know, in hushed tones on this podcast. But also, I feel like we did that because there was so much hiding and obfuscation of what was really going on. Like, if you just told me straight out, like, hey, man, like the Stone Cold Steve Austin beers, right? Like, those aren't getting made in California. At least the ones out here aren't. You know, like, you look on the can and it says, you know, brewed at New Realm in Virginia or wherever.
Yeah.
I don't love it, but I'm okay with it. But at least they're telling us. That's
well, yeah. Well, and to that point, I mean, I will never, ever forget this. I don't even remember the name of the brewery, to be honest with you. But they claimed to be a South Carolina brewery. But they were completely, you know, it was all contract brewing. They didn't have anything other than a label and recipes that they were contract brewing. And they, like, gave me tickets to some event. Like, right. I think
I remember that was in like Columbia or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even remember. It was all weird. Last but not least, Pop the Cap has turned 21.
That really blows my mind. Like, where does the time go?
Right. So, Wells, for those that are uninitiated, what is Pop the Cap, or what was Pop the Cap?
21 years ago, Pop the Cap was an initiative to raise the legal limit of alcohol, of beer, I should say, from 6% in the state of North Carolina, from 6% ABV to a maximum of 15% ABV. That was it. That was Pop the Cap. It's, we need to raise the limit. And it took a couple years of lobbying. This was weirdly something now my memory may be a little fuzzy on this, but like, I think everybody wanted this except for like certain religious folks that aren't going to appreciate any sort of new alcohol. But like, I remember the wholesalers being all about it, the brewers being all about it. And that's rare when you can have like both sides of that coin come together and say, oh yeah, like this is good for everyone. It was, and it still is. Like, that really opened the floodgates for all the brewery, like this explosion of growth and in the state. And it's just, it's truly wild to me that it's been 21 years, because I remember that like it was last year. That's all.
Yeah, it was good.
No, thing. No. I mean, this is it. You're right. Because when you look at the timeline, right, of 21 years ago, and then you look at the explosion of craft brewing in general, it obviously wasn't exactly 20 years ago, but it wasn't that far behind that a lot of these places were like, yeah, why not make a brewery in North Carolina, or why not open a brewery in North Carolina? Because now I'm not limited to only 6% or less.
Right. You know, there are those times where I almost wish the cap was higher, right? You know, because right. there's, you know, between, I don't know that I would necessarily expect us to ever raise it so high that we could get Sam Adams Utopias, right? 40%, yeah. right? But, you know, to be able to get the 18%, you know, Dogfish Head, Worldwide Stout, 120-minute IPA, to be able to get that on the regular, I mean, easier method, rather than go across the street where, boy, those people across the border can get really proud of their beer prices.
Yes, they can.
But at the same time, like, I don't know, man, was at that bottle share at the Buzz a couple of weeks back, and, you know, you get the guys that are rolling out the, you know, brewery beers, you know, that are anywhere from 15 to 22%. And, you know, after a while, it's just like, I don't know how much of this I actually need, you know, like having something a little stronger. Okay, sure. That's fine. But I don't know that I need, yeah, I don't think I need 18% easy access.
Well, and to, I was going to say, to that point, how many times have you been in a brewery in North Carolina and you've seen something that is 15%?
It's not often.
No, it's pretty rare.
There's a, you know, generally speaking, I understand the mentality of it. I don't think a lot of breweries necessarily want to have something that strong on tap, just because I have to imagine it becomes a real liability. You know, like it probably just becomes tough for them, right? And so, you know, like I've been to Divine when they've got their, you know, their one of their big barrel aged stouts on, and it's 13.5%. And I mean, honestly, even that's like, that's good, man.
I don't need more than that.
Yeah. Let alone to be able to get multiples of it. Like that's just, we're just asking for trouble there. But it is kind of nice sometimes to go in and have that as an option. Like I want a, you know, super dense dessert type beer. It's nice.
Yeah.
But I don't need Black Tuesday, you know?
No, not always. Maybe once in a great while, but
Mocha Wednesday. Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad I just only get X number of beers to, you know, we only have so many short fill bottles. Otherwise, I'm not doing my job properly. So, yeah, thankfully, I don't have huge access to 18%, just occasional. I'm not spending money on this shit. Sorry.
No. So, I mean, that is an honest question. So you guys don't have an ABV cap in Virginia, or do you?
Not that I know of.
Okay. So what is the highest, at least that you know of, that the Vale is made? 18?
Yeah, 20 wow. something.
Okay.
I can't even remember. That's my, yeah, that's probably for a reason. Oh, I don't remember what the biggest ABV beer is. Well, no shit.
Did its job. All right.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, I can't remember what I just know it was 20, maybe 21. It was ridiculous. So.
Okay. Gotcha. I was just curious. Didn't know if you remembered.
Nope.
Cool. Cool. All right. Well, since we're not in person, we are all just kind of drinking on our own. So, Jeff, what you drinking?
Got the most recent Porch Bomb from Revolution came in. And so they, we've had their Cold Time Lager, on the show before. Well, they put out like a mixed 12 pack. So I had the 4% rice lager, which was, it was fine. Nothing to write home about. I've had better rice lagers here in town. The amber had a little more character to it, obviously, because it's an amber, not a rice lager, but you know, two, you know, decent, like you could do a lot worse, you know, if you're out in the heat, they would be incredibly refreshing and very good beers. How about you, Wells?
It's a beer from, actually, it's not a beer, but it is from the Vale. It is the Painkiller Fizzy. It is a painkiller inspired hard seltzer with pineapple, fresh coconut, orange, coconut cream, and a touch of nutmeg. And it's just fun, man. Like, it's just a nice drinking. It's a little bit on the sweet side. This thing, I will not get scurvy because I drink this. It is, there's so much.
Yard.
Love it. There's so much juice in this. I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Josh, what did you sip it on?
From our friends that ghosted us at Hopfly, Palm Oasis. They're West Coast.
Our friends that ghosted us. That's funny.
Yeah. Well, we'd been talking to them about doing something. And then I don't know if the guy that originally had reached out maybe left or something, but there were several emails over the course of about a year that went unreturned. So we just assumed that they've either moved on or he moved on or everybody moved on. And that's fine.
Yeah. Who knows? It doesn't matter. They still make good beer. So, I mean, I'm not that mad at them. But you know, I'm not kidding. When I hit up Common Market, I typically will go to the local cooler. Cause you know, they've got the local cooler and then the national cooler. And there's always a row of Hopfly beers. There's typically a row or actually it's kind of changed recently because it used to be like a row of Heist and a row of Hopfly, but the row of Hopfly still exists. Now it's just like maybe a one or two, four pack of Heist stuff. But anytime I see a West Coast or a Hazy, and they always got them, I will always snag one. So
very nice.
This one's really, really good. All right, Jeff, we're at the end of the show. Let me get the music playing, but where are we at?
Come find us out on the interwebs. Go to craftbeercast.com. Find links for old episodes. If you want to reach out and make contact with us, send us an email, contact@craftbeercast.com. But just so you know, we are not a business. We are not looking to raise money. So I don't know why people send us emails where they clearly have it. Like, it's just AI, I'm sure, that's hitting a distribution list trying to scrape email addresses, spray and pray, but man, like, there's just
I don't know if you noticed, but it wasn't even sent to contact, it was sent to hate mail.
Yeah, that cracked me up.
That's why I sent it to you, because I'm like, holy shit, did you miss the assignment?
Yep. Nothing but AI slop.
That's right. Welcome to our AI hell. Mr. Wells, what about you? Where are you at?
Oh man, you can find me at All the Wells on Instagram, and I'm so behind on posting pictures from July. I apologize. I'll get it done, I promise. Josh, where can they find you?
Besides right here, don't forget about our subreddit /r/craftbeercast. If you want to throw some news stories up there, you'll get some upvotes from at least a few of us. Or if you ever do want to email a show topic in, feel free. Like we said, contact or hate mail, craftbeercast.com. Either one works. Rate, review us on your podcatcher of choice. Tell a friend, tell somebody. And I can't think of anything else. Did we mention Patreon? Patreon.com/craftbeercast.
There you go.
If you want to kick us some shekels. You know, we're loud, proud, and independent. So, all right. Other than that, we will talk to you all next Thursday.